Silence after tonight. I hope you can appreciate the same.
Truer words were never spoken after 5 days of music. I'm Barry White, sitting in for Bob Boylan here on a South by Southwest music wrap-up. Stephen Thompson is sitting across from me. Carrie Brownstein is in Portland. And we were all together in Austin, Texas last week for a week of amazing music. But yeah, silence wasn't a bad thing when we all got home. Carrie Brownstein, how did you fare after all of this?
Well, I went
home. I sound great, don't I?
Yeah, you sound great. I think I'm faring a little bit better than you, Bob. I have not been listening to music since I got home, except for Cool 105, which is our new radio station. It's our new kind of R&B, like, / AM gold radio station in Portland. I wanted a really passive listening experience. I just wanted someone to pick tunes for me. I didn't want to have to walk around with a schedule. So, strangely, radio stations do that for you.
And Stephen Thompson, what'd you do?
I actually, I threw my iPod on in the airport. That was, I had a little morning
That's
of
scary,
silence.
Steve.
And put
I
it
know,
back.
Hardcore.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean... The fact of the matter is, before South by Southwest, all I was listening to was the Bon Iver record. And after South by Southwest, all I was listening to was the Bon Iver record. And at South by Southwest, I saw Bon Iver twice.
Well, everybody probably knows that we have a whole bunch of concerts coming down the podcast line. If you subscribe to the All Songs Considered Live concert podcast, one of the things you've gotten in the last few days is some music by Bon Iver, the great Justin Vernon, and a crew of Stephen Thompson. Was that guitar player more than 12?
I had him pegged no more than 15 or 16. Yeah. Well, I would say at least pubescent.
And didn't Justin Vernon tell us in a post-show interview that that was actually one of his guitar students that I believe went off to college, and then he called him and said, hey, can you come be in my band?
Isn't it a great story? He is, and his name's Mike. He's about 20. He's 20 years old. But let's give a listen to some music from that great performance at the Parish. Let's hear the song Skinny Love. Bon Iver, B-O-N, next word I-V-E-R. I know we've given him a bunch of listens to in this short year so far, but what can you say? It's really good. You're one of your favorites, Carrie?
Yeah, if not my absolute favorite from the festival as a whole. I was just so surprised at the intensity of the live performance. Not that the album isn't amazing, but he changed it just enough live to just make him not only someone that I liked, but I thought, I really love this album, and I think this guy is really special.
And Stephen Thompson, your favorite, what kicked you?
Well, since Carrie's already taken Bon Iver.
Yeah.
No, I got a chance, you know, we broadcast and webcast the REM show with a bunch of opening bands, and about halfway through REM, I had to steal All Songs Considered producer Robin Hilton, pretend that we were going out.
You guys looked like you were heading for a beer, and then and then you were gone.
Oh, Bob, we'll be right back. We slipped out, and right across the street, one of my favorite bands in the world was playing, a band called Shearwater from Austin, Texas. Their album Palo Santo was my favorite album of 2 years ago. They've got a new one coming out in May that I'm really excited to hear.
Did they do some of that new material?
They did some of the
snuck out and
they did some. Yeah, when when I bailed on you,
yes.
we snuck out, and Robin and I just stood there, and you know, it was one of those weird shows, like very late at night. The crowd was kind of thinning out, and it was on standing on concrete under a big white tent, but the still sort of room filling, beautiful kind of just.
All right, let's listen.
Let's listen. Yeah, I can't keep describing it. Let's just listen to 74-75.
Imagine we'll be hearing a lot more of Shearwater as the record comes out in May. You suppose, Steve?
Every chance I get. You let me anywhere near this show.
And there's an Ockerville River connection, real quick.
Yeah, Shearwater sort of spun off from Ockerville River a little bit. Ockerville River's a little more awkward and intense, and Shearwater's a little bit more majestic.
Okay.
You like Shearwater better,
right? I do like Shearwater better. And I'm right.
I just wanted to add that the reason I picked Bon Iver, because I knew that he was your favorite too, was because I was worried you'd start crying if you talked about him. I wanted to spare you that embarrassment.
You're acting like that would embarrass me. I'm very comfortable with
I know
with
you
my
are.
With my tears.
You put your head on my shoulder so much during South by Southwest over Bon Iver. But since I'm not there for you, I didn't know if you wanted to put your head on Bob since he's.
I'll dampen Bob's shoulder over here.
Okay.
The amazing thing that struck me being my first South by Southwest festival was how every single thing, and I do mean thing, was a venue for a band, and my favorite one was actually a big disappointment, but my favorite one was this beauty salon that turned into a performance art space called the Beauty Shop, called the Beauty Bar. You got it. And so anywhere and everywhere it was a band. When I got home and I got to Dulles Airport, that has these like bus-like shuttles that are like three times the width of a bus, I got in and I thought, oh, where's the band?
Yeah, I saw I guess this would sort of double as my biggest disappointment, but I actually saw Not a Surf, a band I love, you know, that we talked about in the preview show, played in this god-awful patio above a good venue, but they set them up and it was sort of this rooftop. They set up a tent over it and it sloped backwards. So if you weren't in the front row, no one could see, with these just jank speakers, just awful sounding speakers. And they clearly had no working monitors. Oh.
Well, you and I went to see Laurie Gibson, and the speaker was facing the door.
That's right. You walk in, and they're clearly used to piping music out in order to, I don't know, draw people in.
That's right. Once you get in, you can't hear the music.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know, what's a lot of decibels? And
a lot of decibels would be 110.
110. Yeah. Okay, so like 4 decibels was how loud the music was played inside. And, you know, the crowd noise in the room was just overwhelmed it.
One of my favorite moments was I get a text message from Steven that basically says, it said,
come quick.
A Chinese
woman from New Zealand is singing AC/DC covers.
Right. And boy, was I there quick.
I just like to imagine that there was a puff of white smoke where Bob was standing.
And when you saw me, I think that I was actually a little lifted off the ground at that moment. I was so happy because first I'd walked through the streets and I was hearing music coming out everywhere and I loved that. But then I walked in and saw, and she must have, she was no spring chicken, right?
No, she was wearing a lovely red dress. And I gather I actually haven't seen it, but there was an episode of South Park.
And her name is Wing.
Her name is Wing. There was an episode of South Park apparently built around this,
yeah, I didn't know that.
This persona. But it was absolutely bizarre to listen to, and Bob had his camcorder out so quickly. I think more people were documenting it than were actually watching it.
But you didn't want to, we'll play some of Wing. You didn't want to laugh at her so much because I don't know what she thought of what she was doing. I mean, she was serious into it, but my giggles were so hard that I couldn't keep my camcorder still. Well, let's give a listen to some Wing. That was Wing, a one-of-a-kind. Quirky sing from Carrie.
This is a band that I mentioned on during one of our webcasts, but as we've talked about, I mean, there's music everywhere. So I was always relieved to stumble into a half-empty space, and I did that one afternoon at a venue called Bourbon Rocks. And it was this band from Athens called We Versus the Shark. And the first thing I noticed was that the facial hair on each band member was kind of like the children's game, Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Like if someone blindfolded had approached these guys with like pockets of, you know, little bits of hair and pasted them on their face. It was such an interesting configuration of facial hair. And I just thought, how did you guys all find each other with this facial hair and form a band? But they were just really out there, and they're such consummate and professional musicians. They were inserting Zeppelin songs and Stevie Wonder songs into their own songs, which usually freaks me out, but somehow I just was right there with the 5 other people, you know, fist raising. And later, Lars from NPR, he kept emailing me afterwards, thanking me for mentioning this great Athens band. So I thought, wow, I've really stumbled into something great.
Let's give a listen to We Versus the Shark.
Thank you.
you don't have to kick it from We Versus the Shark. Whoa.
Now, Bob, I know what you're thinking. You're if Primus and Fugazi, especially when Guy was singing, had a baby, you're not sure you would love that baby yet. But you'll grow to love that baby.
Oh, God.
That sounds like it would be amazing live.
It's amazing live. I agree. Listening to it, you know, a recorded version of those songs is not as exciting. But as you heard, there were 17 parts that we just heard of that song. And that's only half the song.
Stephen, quirkiest one. Quirky. The South by Southwest
Music
Festival.
Not counting Wing. I would say one of the quirkier things I saw was a singer-songwriter from, I believe, Toronto, somewhere in Canada. You know, I love how people do that. Somewhere in Canada. I don't know, Vancouver or Nova Scotia or something.
Right near each other.
But this woman named Laura Barrett, who constructs all of her arrangements around the kalimba, which is sort of like a little thumb piano, the little plink, 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 plink. And watching her on stage, her stage presence was not unlike that of a young woman sending text messages.
All right, let's visualize this while we listen to Laura Barrett. Text messaging. I had to call up my wireless plan because it was getting serious.
Yeah, I learned long ago.
Well, you didn't tell me that before.
Just do
we got
unlimited.
There.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's how you can communicate there.
That was all. That was the only way.
Yeah.
And so every show that you were at, I mean, look, this is for probably most of our audience. They're saying, Bob, what do you think? You know, but
whatever,
me,
oldster. Right,
yeah. But for me, who, you know, I'll text message now and again. But this was the way, and folks, the reason I don't have a voice is not just because of my flu, but it was because every time we needed to do something, I was screaming trying to be heard.
What makes my ears ring after these things is never the actual music. It's always the voices just being just jackhammered into my ears during conversations over these things.
Well, the sound quality, too, was just, you know, we mentioned, was just so horrible. One of the nice things that turned out to be fortuitous, I think, that we did was we had set up, because I'd gotten there a day or so early, Robin Hilton had gotten there a day or so early. We had booked Lightspeed Champion, someone we really loved, but whose many gigs were all, like, at times where we were going to be busy doing our own gigs, and brought him, Dev Hines, out to a place called the French Legation Museum. I didn't know the meaning of the word legation. Maybe still don't, but basically it was like an embassy. And we videotaped him doing four songs, and it was truly just this delightful, after being on 6th Street and hearing the blaring, we were out with the birds chirping and the ladybugs, as he called the ladybugs. I don't even know where to begin with that one. But he did four songs for us. You can see a video of that online. And let's give a listen to Tell Me What It's Worth.
Hi. My name is Dev. This is Mike Siddell. We play as Lightspeed Champion. We're here in Austin, Texas. We're going to play some songs, and first song is called Tell Me What It's Worth. Crack open the good times. On a street corner's busting rhymes, but you fell between the lines. They all love, become a joke. I'm a crazy baby, let's all hope. For narrow holes, crunching drums. I got the sweet sugar, but that's all. Tell me what it's worth. tell me what it's worth. To tell us that we're doing everything wrong. Heroes turn a bluish gray when they're dead. Well, that's funny, cause I've just been bright red. Kill, 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 and everything starts to suck. Drowning all your sins, I guess it's bad luck. All the fact that your race fixes it. Got the sweet sugar, but that's it.
I saw a post comment to our blog to this video, and it's from Connor Oberst, and he says, "Dev's the man." That's great. He really was, man. He was just a treat to be with.
Oh, I really, really liked him. I got a chance to see him at one point, kind of stumbled across him, and he really, really won me over. He just seems like a star to me.
Yeah. We grabbed a number of people, and we'll put this all up online. J-May is another artist that we took out to the French Legation Museum, and she did a song for us as well, and there's a video of that up online. Let's quickly give a listen to a little bit of J-May. She's a singer. She's from Brooklyn.
Xylophone to make the feeling sound. I'm remembering you singing and bringing you to life, and it's raining out the window, and today it looks like night. You haven't written to me in a week. I wonder why that is. Are you too nervous to be lovers? Friendship's ruined with just one kiss. I watched you very closely. I saw you look away. Your eyes are either gray or blue. I'm never close enough to say. But your sweatshirt says it all.
We'll put the two songs of hers. She was a delight online for you to see and to hear. So sound quality, we mentioned, is one big disappointment in many of the venues, not all. Carrie Brownstein, a disappointment of yours?
I'd have to say, just because everyone seemed to love him, including my friends back home, and then of course you guys. But I had never seen Jens Lehmann, and he certainly was charming, but I was not necessarily charmed by the preciousness of his music. I would not. He is certainly talented, but yeah. I was just a little disappointed. I was expecting something else, I guess.
I think that he makes his setup more complicated at times than others, and I think that his regular sampler person wasn't there. I've never seen him before either, but we saw the same show in the same room at the same moment, and I was totally enchanted. So,
I wrote a blog a couple months ago about preciousness being one of my pet peeves, and there's certainly something a little
How often
precious.
Does it creep in, though? I mean, preciousness is not something that happens in much of this
music.
Well,
I think that Laura Barrett song certainly qualifies as well. That set off my tweedar like crazy.
Your tweedar. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. You know, I think it just might... I might have to give a few more listens to Jens Lehmann. I just purely on the basis of just kind of seeing him and not really knowing what to expect, I wasn't as enchanted as you were.
Here's what I really liked about him and what I find so missing. And then we'll let it go, won't we? Because I'll get the last word. Is that he's actually, I think he's an entertainer as opposed to just a musician. And I welcome that. I mean, if 1 out of 10 people I go see are entertainers in... That's okay. I don't need to see 9 out of 10, but just every once in a while to see somebody who tells me a story. And
I agree. I guess and this is someone he reminds me of that I think does it better, is Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen Stephen live, so I got to do that.
I can't imagine he's the most dynamic entertainer. I can't imagine him with like a top hat and a cane.
No, but he has a show. He has a showman a showmanship that I think is, you'd be surprised despite how acerbic Stephen Merritt is. But, you know, Bob, I think we should go point counterpoint like this on every band. Yeah.
And I can just break the tie and always win.
Oh, Stephen.
So let me just go down a quick thing, which is that, and I'll see if I can remember all of these, but on a current podcast of All Songs Considered, the live concert podcast, you should now have in your podcast Yaysayer, which was amazing, right? I mean, a Yaysayer show was fantastic. Everybody agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay!
And then Bon Iver, we've mentioned. Jens Lekman, the Shout Out Louds.
Shout Out Louds was also a really, really good band.
They opened our day up. And we're hoping for some rights to a couple things, the My Morning Jacket concert, at least a song, and then R.E.M., perhaps a cut. And if you're not getting all these, it could be your settings, but just unsubscribe and resubscribe, and everything will show up, and you'll all be happy, and there'll be lots of good music. Biggest surprises, Stephen Thompson's biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise? It's always interesting where there are bands that you've never heard of before the festival starts, and by the end, all of a sudden, you're hearing about them everywhere. And I actually managed to stumble in and sort of almost at random and see this band on the recommendation of a couple of our partner stations. Actually, this band called the Ting Tings.
Oh yeah.
Which sort of, I mean, in terms of their general makeup as a band, sort of are the White Stripes inverted? There's a female singer who sort of dominates the proceedings, and a male drummer who you know just sort of keeps a beat. It's a little bit more kind of spiky, tremendously catchy. And I actually heard them play the single that we're playing here. I smell a
That's
summer
really
hit.
That's really fun, totally. I tried to make it to them, but I kept getting locked in the room doing interviews, which were fun and all. I was at the Levi Fader Fort an awful lot in a room with a painting that was not on the wall. It was sitting on the floor and a couch.
Bob, I just want to mention that when I wrote in to Robin my disappointments, I actually put Jonathan Rice and Jens Lekman, and Robin wrote back, Jens Lekman. You just wanted to hear me fight with Bob. Yeah, yeah. You're like, it will make better radio.
Got to stir it up.
Yeah. But I just wanted to put that out there.
I appreciate that. You should have text messaged me that next time. He doesn't have to know everything, you know.
I know.
Where'd you go, by the way? You just sort of, I never saw you again after Thursday.
I saw you, but you were. Saw you on at the French Legation Museum during the Press Here garden party, and you looked like Rick Steves walking around with your field recording device. You know, the travel guy. I was like, "There's Bob," and you were just like walking like across the lawn, and you had I think sons and daughters were following you, and I just thought he's leading them on a magical adventure now.
We were trying to find a place to set up. The last time we were there, it was empty. There was no one there.
Yeah, it was. I left that place after the three lines became like a knotted like rat tail. It was like a line for the bathroom, a line for the beer, and a line for the ice cream. It was all merging in the middle. Right. And I was like, this is time to leave. Before that, it was great.
I had actually thought you said that Bob looked like Rick Dees.
Oh, that's...
Which is also true.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, your biggest surprise, if that was Stephen's pleasant surprise?
Well, this is going to come as an unpleasant surprise to the two of you. And let's recall that I did bring up Bon Iver and that I do like nice, softer music. I also liked Liam Finn. But I think
I didn't
the
like Liam Finn, by the way.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Okay, well, anyhow, I wouldn't say pleasant surprise, but I was surprised at myself for being able to appreciate this at all 3 days into South by Southwest. I think because I could not listen to any more Nuance, and this just hit me over the head over and over again. It's a band called Piss Jeans, and they're... They're a hardcore band. And this song we're going to hear by Piss Jeans is called Caught Looking Leather.
Got it. Okay, let's hear it.
We don't need to hear much more of that song. I think you get the idea.
I think they should have T-shirts that actually say the word nuance in them in a circle with a line through it.
I think you can understand how you can kind of grow to appreciate something like that after you just have to kind of give in to how bombarded you've been by music at South by Southwest. And you have two options, either to go to something really quiet and beautiful or to go to something that's just going to make your headache worse. And I opted for the latter and was really... surprise. I like, I love this right now. I just don't want to hear it when I get home.
So, one of the moments that I think for all of us, was the My Morning Jacket concert. I thought was just so totally stellar.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think we're all in agreement on that one. I think our jaws dropped, a collective jaw dropped during that show.
Yeah, I mean, that's a band I've never quite fully bought into. I think in part because I find the lyrics a little bit hard to discern. They're much more about sort of atmosphere and just this big sound. But man, seeing it live.
And they did 8 new songs from a
which sounded amazing.
It comes out in June, and it was a big thing to do so many new songs, and everybody loved it. There was not that normal, okay, now it's silence because they're doing the new song. Everyone was remarkable. I had two other moments because, again, I felt like I lived this little outside world of South by Southwest, and one of which, Matt Ward and
Zooey Deschanel. Zooey Deschanel, yeah.
Zooey Deschanel.
Spelled Zooey.
Are she and him, and I saw them.
Can you tell I spend a lot of time reading instead of talking to people?
Hey, Zooey, what's up?
So the two of them are she and him. It's a new duo that they've done. I saw them perform 4 songs at the Parish, and then they had rented a house somewhere in not far from the festival and went out there and recorded a couple of songs. So we'll put those songs online for you. And that was really a treat. But one night, Matt Ward and Jim James from My Morning Jacket both played at a church, St. David's Church. And that was the most magic for me. That was absolutely astonishing. Matt Ward did about 30 minutes of songs, and then Jim James joined him for a handful, and then James went out. They even, at one point, fired up a little bit of the pipe organ at the church. So let's go out there's only like 200 people in the church, so most people didn't see this. They only did it once. Thanks to Jim James' management for getting us a copy of this. A really remarkable moment, and a real talent is Jim James, and truly full of confidence now. So music from Jim James. Thanks, everybody. It was great. Yeah.
My pleasure.
All right. See you later, Carrie.
All right. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Have you had enough excitement now, more than you ever did? You never wanted to be treated like a woman. You maintained you was just a kid.
Well, at least you were of age, my dear. These days kids, they grow so fast. You never wanted to be committed to the present. You too busy believing in the past. Oh. Who then was your savior? Who then was your friend? Who is now committed to the present?